Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. This is Wednesday. It's beautiful outside right here in South Carolina. It's supposed to go up into the 80s today, so spring is over. Summer is upon us, apparently, at least for this part of the week. We'll see what happens later in the week. But today is our Worldview Wednesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. By the way, yesterday's broadcast is receiving quite a bit of interest out on the internet there. We did an interview yesterday with Brian Gadowa, who is a Hollywood screenwriter and an author. And he's been a pretty vocal critic about the movie Noah, and I agree with him. And we had a conversation yesterday on the second half of the program, and I posted that interview, the audio of that yesterday, out on a number of different places, www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. It's also out on knowingthetruth.org website. I also put it out on Facebook and so forth, a little bit on Twitter. And, man, it's just taken off. A lot of people have gone out there and downloaded that in order to hear what Brian had to say about it. And if you didn't get a chance to hear his comments, you can do the same thing. We make those audio files available absolutely free. And so you can go out there on either any of those pages that I mentioned there a moment ago and get your free download of that discussion. It's only 20-some-minute-long discussion with him, and you can find out what he said about that issue. On the program today, we're going to talk about a couple of very important issues that are going on in our country and, indeed, in the world somewhat today as well. First of all, we're going to talk about what's taking place with the Supreme Court and some nonprofits. They were supposed to hear some cases related to some nonprofits related to the contraceptive mandate again. And we're going to get an update on what happened with those hearings. Also, we want to get just a little bit of analysis about the Hobby Lobby case that was heard by the court. The opening arguments were heard just recently as well. And just want to get a little bit of some insight as to, you know, which way do people think that is going. And to do that, we're going to talk with Emily Bells from World Magazine, and we'll get her scoop on what's taking place on a couple of those issues. Second half of the program today, we're going to talk about the issue of global warming. The UN is about ready to release a brand new report. I think it's actually maybe not the UN itself, but an organization associated with them. I think it's called the, what is it, IPCC, I think is what it is. And basically they're saying, if I could just sum it up, it's a long report, but we're doomed. If we don't start paying taxes to them or to somebody, if we don't start just giving away, you know, bukus of money, then we're doomed because the global warming thing is just completely out of control. And we're all just going to be, we don't have a chance here whatsoever unless we do something about it by, I think it's like by Friday or something. You know, we got to do it in a heartbeat here, right? We got to get to it right away. Well, another group of individuals who have equally the as credible scientists on their team, they say, well, not so fast. That the report has is very much political. They came out through the UN, and they're looking at the same data, and they're coming to a completely different conclusion. So we're going to speak on the second half of the program with James Taylor, senior fellow, Heartland Institute, managing editor of Environment and Climate News. And he's going to talk to us about what their scientists are saying there from the Heartland Institute. And we'll get his scoop on how should we really think about this report that's coming out of the UN. There's where we're going on the broadcast today. Up first is Emily Bells. Emily, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Great to be here.
Emily, we got to get this done by Friday because we may be doomed by then. But let's go ahead and talk about what's taking place with the United States Supreme Court and what they said or did on Monday related to a couple of cases, specifically from some Catholic nonprofit groups and specifically related to the idea of the contraceptive mandate. Tell our listening audience what's taking place.
Yeah, so these nonprofits were the first to sue against the contraceptive mandate, really before Hobby Lobby or any of these other companies got involved. But their cases have been moving much more slowly through the courts, and they finally appealed to the Supreme Court, these two nonprofits, two Catholic nonprofits, and the Supreme Court said, you know, we're going to hold off on this until you hear your case at the D.C. Circuit, which is one level below the Supreme Court. So a lot of people had thought that the Supreme Court would jump in on this, but they decided not to on Monday.
Is this a little bit of a formality?
Yes. I mean, they thought that the Supreme Court would maybe want to give expedited review of this case because it's, you know, a lot of these nonprofits are going to have to comply with the mandate pretty soon here in the next couple months. So that's why they thought, a lot of court observers thought that the Supreme Court would get involved. But, they're just going to go through the regular process now, and it's going to take more time.
Mm. So the lower courts are going to be tied up with basically the way these things seem to work is we're going to get one judge and one court that's going to say one thing, and another court or another judge is going to say something different. And basically, they're going to say, you know, we can't resolve this. And so the only way for this to be resolved is to go back up to the Supreme Court to get them to resolve it. Is that basically the shell game that we're looking at here and where we're going to end up in just a couple months?
Yeah. These two nonprofits are the first that are going to have their cases heard on the merits at the D.C. Circuit. So there's almost 100 other cases from nonprofits, but none of them have been debated on the merits. It's all been preliminary. You know, is there enough evidence for us to give a hearing to this case? And none of the courts have actually gotten to the issue at hand. Mm. So it's going to be a big deal to hear those arguments when they come up in May. And then we'll see what the Supreme Court does after that.
Mm. There was a lot of disinformation floating around about the Hobby Lobby case. A lot of folks termed it as being that Hobby Lobby didn't want to provide insurance for their employees, which was just not true. And then they said, well, they don't want to provide any sort of insurance that covers anything dealing with either contraceptives or some would say any sort of maternity-related resources in their insurance policy, which was not true as well. There were just 4 out of the 24, I think it was, 24 different options that were available. There was 4 that they objected to, which they determined were would cause abortion to take place. And so there's what the real story was about Hobby Lobby. It got all muddled, as it normally does in the mainstream media. What is the real story here taking place with this group of Catholic charities? That what are they actually trying to do, the pro-life group in this coalition? What's at issue about the contraceptive mandate?
Well, I think for these two Catholic groups, they objects to all contraceptive coverage. But it's really complicated what the federal government has decided to do with religious nonprofits, and hard to explain on the radio. But they want the nonprofits to sign a form that says, we're going to let another insurer cover contraceptives for our employees. So the two nonprofits object to signing that form because they think it's the same thing as insuring the employees themselves. Mm. It's kind of a shell game.
So the Obama administration tried to just push it back and say, well, it's not really you doing this. It's your insurance company doing this. Is that
exactly?
Of course, is just absurd. Of course, they're not doing it. You know, they don't actually provide the material themselves. But that doesn't resolve anything. And so, I mean, it's a little bit obviously disingenuous. There's no doubt about that. But it's obviously a little bit of offending, you know, to think that, you know, that these folks are that naive that they would then say, oh, okay, we didn't realize we weren't really providing these things. It was our insurance company doing it. Now that you pointed that out to us, now it's crystal clear. Thank you so much. I mean, do they find it a little bit offensive, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what these nonprofits have said in their court filings is, you know, this is a distinction without a difference. Mm. So they haven't really jumped on board with this supposed accommodation for religious nonprofits. And, you know, courts so far have kind of disagreed about whether it is a real accommodation or not. So that's something that the Supreme Court will have to consider probably down the road.
You know, I think a bigger story is here in this is I don't think the Supreme Court, or let me back that up, maybe I'd say the Obama administration, I don't think they take the Catholic Church very seriously. And, you know, you've got members of Congress that pushed this through and the Senate who are practicing Catholics. And so you've got Catholics that have now created a law that is against Catholic teaching. So I don't know, you know, this is speaking a little bit broadly about the relevance of the Catholic Church and whether or not they can actually, you know, speak to their own members like a Nancy Pelosi or somebody along that line. And bring their own members into line with what the Catholic dogma is. That's certainly a part of this story, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the problem initially was that the Obama administration had distinguished between the Catholic Church and Catholic organizations. So they gave an accommodation to the church. You know, the church didn't have to cover these contraceptives at all. But if you were a nonprofit, if you were doing anything, you know, based on your faith outside of the church, then you wouldn't get any sort of exemption. So I think that was the distinction that the Obama administration made that was a real problem for nonprofits.
You know, we just addressed that very subject, and I'm so glad that you pointed that out because we talked about that. There's a difference between freedom of worship and the free exercise of religion. And we've been kind of had our antennas up recently. This has come up on the radar that the Obama administration is making a distinction between those two things. And for our listening audience, again, the distinction is basically this. You can believe whatever you want to believe, the Obama administration is saying, as long as you keep it within the confines of your church. You know, if you can talk about and say that you believe in these things and hold to a belief on these things, but just keep it within the four walls of your church. As soon as you try to get involved in the expression of your religion in the public square or in the public marketplace, as soon as you take it outside the walls of the church and live out your beliefs in society, that's where the Obama administration is saying that you can't do that, that we're going to stop you. We're going to coerce you to tell you what you will believe in that sphere. And that is a difference between, that's where the right for free exercise of religion, that's where it plays out. That's where, so really the Obama administration through these things is launching an attack on the free exercise of religion in the public sphere. And that's something that we need to really stand up and really say and get behind this and say that we're going to fight this tooth and nail, because once that's gone, you know, we have lost the ability to be able to speak about not only this issue, but any issue related to Christianity in the public sphere. Would you agree with that, Emily, that this seems to be at the core of this?
Yeah, that's the argument that, you know, the two families from Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood at the Supreme Court, you know, they said, you've acknowledged that, you know, that religious nonprofits, at least, are trying to exercise their religion outside of the church. So we're doing the same thing with our businesses. We're living our faith, and part of living our faith is not providing abortion-inducing drugs to our employees. So so they made that very argument at the Supreme Court. So we'll see what the justices think about it.
You know, that same point seems to be coming up again and again now in a lot of these stories. So you mentioned the Hobby Lobby case. First, we were talking about the Catholic nonprofits. I think it was even a little bit we heard this type of terminology being used in the entire World Vision fiasco that took place. We heard the president there talk about the President Stearns from World Vision, where he said that, you know, he tried to separate Christian doctrine from Christian deeds. And he was basically saying, you know, we're an extension of the evangelical church, and we're about mission, and we go out and do this work. We don't get caught up in the doctrine of these things. And I think that that is a fatal flaw, that we can't separate what we believe with what we do. I talk a lot about it in the church that I pastor, that we go from doctrine to deeds, that right thinking leads to right living out of our faith on a regular basis. And so I think that this concept that we're seeing seems to be popping up over and over again, that somehow we can compartmentalize our faith. We can have a belief over here, but that belief doesn't actually impact what we do on a daily basis, which is, of course, 180 degrees opposite from what we find in the Word of God. There's entire books of the Word of God, like the book of James, that is written against that whole concept about not, you know, believing one thing but not having it come out in your actual daily living. Emily, you told us a little bit about the Hobby Lobby case. Give us a little bit of a sense of what the analysis is from some of the people involved. How did they feel that the case went before the Supreme Court?
Well, a lot of the lawyers who were involved on Hobby Lobby's side were pretty optimistic after the hearing. I mean, cautiously optimistic, because you really never know what the Supreme Court is going to do. But they were surprised that Justice Breyer, for example, he's one of the liberal justices, he didn't ask any critical questions of the Hobby Lobby lawyer, but he did ask a lot of critical questions of the government's lawyer. Mm. So it was things like that really surprised some advocates on Hobby Lobby's side and gave them hope that the Supreme Court would rule in their favor.
The Green family themselves said that they were encouraged by what they heard. Is that correct?
Yeah. They were in the courtroom along with the Hans, who are the other family who are involved in the case. And I think, you know, it was interesting because the justices didn't seem bothered that this was a case about corporations. They kept drawing it back to the families. Mm. So So that was surprising that they didn't seem to see a huge distinction between the family's beliefs and the business itself.
Mm-hmm. I saw one statement that said something along this line, that a individual shouldn't be required to relinquish their religious freedom, the free exercise of their religion, simply because they decide to start a business, a small business. So the Green family was basically saying, hey, as individuals, we have freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion, and now we've started a business. Why can't we carry over our free exercise of religion into our business? And why can't we live out our faith in our business using the types of principles that we believe in, which makes a lot of sense. And they should be able to do that. I feel that they should. But it seemed that the justices were wrestling with whether then a corporation or a business actually has the same rights as an individual. And I kept scratching my head and saying, you know, we talk about these corporations as if they are individual free entities, you know, that they're just like, they just kind of create themselves, that there's not people behind them. And so, you know, I can't see, how do we divorce these corporations or businesses from the people that start them? That they seem to want to do that. And I don't know why or how we should be able to do that. I think that, you know, you should be able to reflect in your business your basic beliefs. Am I hitting the nail on the head as to what the Supreme Court was wrestling with?
Yeah, it's a hard question, because people don't want to think of corporations as being people necessarily, but there are already, I mean, nonprofits are corporations, and they have religious protections. And there are already, as they pointed out in the courtroom, there are already for-profit hospitals that also have conscience protections for providing abortions and that kind of thing. So this is already something that's present in our law, mm-hmm. but we haven't really dealt with that question head-on in the Supreme Court before. It's a little complicated, but once you read into it, you start to understand a little more about this corporations being persons thing.
Mm-hmm. And not only in that area, but also in the area of race relations and, you know, treating people fairly and so forth. People had said, as a corporation, you could apply for minority status or those types of things. Well, if you could do it there, if you're acknowledging the people that own the business in that area of the law, how could you not acknowledge them as people in this area of the law? So I think one of the justices brought that up as well. And I think that's a valid legal argument. And so I can't see how they're going to get around that in their ruling.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that the court has already, you know, in Citizens United, they considered corporations to be persons. So mm-hmm. It wouldn't be that surprising if they decided to consider them persons in this case as well.
Mm-hmm. But all of that said, Emily, you and I can raise the best arguments we'd like right here on the radio program. But as we know with the Supreme Court, we can all be very much surprised. And so we can't rest until that ruling actually comes out. And for that, we're going to have to wait. What are we talking, June, somewhere up around that time?
Probably June.
Okay, well, we'll just try to sit here patiently on this side of the microphone and wait for the ruling to come out and then go from there. Well, Emily, thank you so much for writing about these issues and for the great work you guys are doing there at World Magazine. We really appreciate you writing about this story and visiting with us for a few moments here on the program today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay. That was Emily Bells again, and Emily is with World Magazine. If you want to read about the story that she wrote about and then the other stories out there, you can go out to their website at www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. And out there, you can read about all of the latest stories. There's a lot of them that they're covering out there. I'm looking at a few of them right now. They have issues dealing with technology and more with medical things that were, like we were talking about. And so you can read about all of these important issues. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.